Welcome to Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The historic west side of San Antonio is a culturally rich part of the city. It's primarily Mexican-American, and many of its residents live in poverty. Poverty doesn't define the neighborhood, however. The political power duo of Julian and Joaquin Castro were raised on the West Side. The West Side is celebrated in paintings and murals. It even birthed its own musical genre, the West Side Sound. Some of the neighborhood's lesser-known figures are getting their due in a virtual exhibit at a museum that celebrates the unique history, heritage, and pride of the West Side. The Museo del West Side is a project of the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center. The Esperanza is a grassroots, community-based cultural organization committed to preserving San Antonio's unique cultural heritage. Graciela Sanchez is the director of the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center and member of the West Side Preservation Alliance. She joins us today on Fronteras, as does Dr. Antonia Castañeda, professor of history emeritus at St. Mary's University in San Antonio. Sanchez says the city's Mexican and Mexican-American community is rooted in the historic West Side.
We were segregated to live in this neighborhood. We were originally the indígenas of this community, but at some point we got pushed into the west side, west of the San Pedro Creek and then further on west. However, what we hear about the west side of San Antonio has always been negative. And why not, right? Mexicans and Black people and other communities of color and poor people of all colors that are always seen in media, in our history books, as the bad people, the negative. And a lot of the stories are just a stereotype of our communities. While growing up, everything I heard was the West Side was bad. Oh, you went to Lanier High School, La Garra, which means the rags. We were so poor that we wore rags to school. This is where prostitutes and drug dealers and a lot of criminal activities taking place. That's what we heard, and that's how people still see that. And my mother talks about how in her 97 years, that's what she heard about her West Side. And so the museo, along with other projects that we've been doing in the West Side, is a way for us to break those stereotypes, is to say, no. Here is a truer, more complicated story of the people of the west side of San Antonio. And so we learn about the history of this community of strong, fierce individuals, community members that survived in this community, a community that, again, was segregated by racist policies, red line, where, again, we couldn't even buy homes in other communities in the neighborhood, so we weren't allowed to get loans from banks, so our homes had to be small little casitas or shotgun homes that might be 400, 600 square feet. So regardless, they persevered. So the museo then is going to tell that story, the story of the community, of the people who lived, worked, played, suffered, danced, and flourished. It'll break that stereotype of what we've heard about us for all these generations.
And Antonia, this is not really a story that's unique to West Side San Antonio. What Graciela was talking about, the stereotype of, oh, it being a Black neighborhood, a Mexican-American neighborhood, there's going to be crime. Those are always opinions that are coming from the outside. They're not necessarily coming from within the neighborhood. Within the neighborhood, they're going to acknowledge, okay, yeah, there might be a little crime, but there's crime everywhere. Why are you picking on us? And chances are it's because of that racist stereotype, correct?
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right with respect to that these are the standard stereotypes that are invoked against communities of color. So these stereotypes are part of an ideology and part of a strategy of distancing, of separation, of segregation and discrimination at all levels: educational, economic, social, political. And so it's that story that the museo is intended to exhibit and to reveal in terms of the ways that this community, the community of the West Side, communities of the West Side, and particularly the historic West Side, not only persevered, which they did most certainly, but they created and they grew and they thrived and they established networks and community organizations. And so there is a whole history based on the lives of the people of these communities that is missing from the museums in San Antonio, from the history of San Antonio, that the museo is intended to tell. The museo will reveal and reflect and honor and respect the communities, the people, their lives, their struggles, their strategies, their intelligence, their genius, their creativity. And so it's about race, but it's also about class. It's about separation of people, working class people. So all of those stories, all of that history, that is not only the history of the West Side, but it is the history of San Antonio. It's the history of Texas. It's the history of the United States. And so part of our framing and part of our discussion is that Mexican-American / Latino, Latinx history is U.S. history, is American history, and U.S. history is a Latino history. You cannot understand U.S. history without understanding the history of all of its people and all of its communities.
Well, Graciela Antonia's absolutely right. This is the kind of history that we're not learning about in our history classes. Now, granted, there has been some expansion, a little bit more color, so to speak, now introduced into history classes. But overall, students across the U.S. are kind of learning the same American and or Texas history that we've been spoon-fed for generations. And your museo, the Museo del West Side, is kind of taking a more of a microscope into the community of the West Side. But yet, as Antonia was saying, it can still be applied to a much greater picture of Latino history in the United States.
As somebody who went to the public schools in San Antonio's West Side, it amazes me that I didn't know about the important people who, again, created not only local history, but international history. I think of Eva Garza, who graduated from Lanier in the late 1930s, and who went from playing in the baseball team at Lanier and the basketball team at Lanier, getting recognized by some group coming from New York and taken and whisked off to New York on a tour, and then gets recorded by CBS Radio, and then has a radio program for 7 years, you know, based out of New York. And people here in San Antonio always turning on the radio from 1942 to 1949 to listen to Eva Garza. You know, she was famous. And I went to the high school she graduated 40 years later and never knew about her. And if you go to Lanier High School and look for the important people that went to Lanier, it's not they don't even know the history of Eva Garza, of all these amazing people that came from the West Side. And that's just so wrong. Carmen Tafoya, we know her as a poet, but people don't know that she grew up in the West Side. Manuela Solis Seeger, who, along with Emma Tenayuca, fought for the right of workers to get paid a decent wage and marched 10,000 women strong. Or Maria Látigo de Hernández, who was organizing and speaking in front of thousands prior to the work of Emma Tenayuca. So she was leading, and Emma was watching and joining the struggle for justice for our community. So there are so many of these important people. And one of the things the Esperanza also likes to do is find the story of the women and the girls in the community, because so much of our history, mainstream history, is also about men's history. And so we want to make sure that we don't lose the voices of women and girls and queer people. And again, working class people, because even as we find people doing stories of Mexican and Mexican Americans, they search for the middle class and and the upper class. And we want to challenge that. There are people that we, our own communities, have erased. We're not ashamed. We're proud of the work that women, girls, LGBT, Mexican-American, and others have given and done for our community.
Graciela Sanchez is the director of the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center and member of the Westside Preservation Alliance. We're also talking with Dr. Antonia Castañeda, professor of history emeritus at St. Mary's University in San Antonio. Some of the women mentioned just now by Graciela Sanchez are featured in a new virtual exhibit celebrating women and activism on San Antonio's West Side.
We do have Jovita Hidar and Maria Berriozabal and Emma Tenayuca, but there are all so many other women that you won't know until you go into this website.
Hear more about it next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Important women in history are often overshadowed by men, and their presence is often lost to time. A virtual exhibit aims to highlight the women who played an important role in the cultural development of West Side San Antonio. Women and Activism in the West Side is the featured exhibit at the Museo del West Side. The museo is a project by the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center to preserve the culture of West Side San Antonio, a predominantly low-income Mexican-American and historic neighborhood. We're talking today with Dr. Antonia Castañeda, professor of history emeritus at St. Mary's University in San Antonio, and Graciela Sanchez, director of the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center and member of the West Side Preservation Alliance. Castañeda says strong Latina women are rarely mentioned in history, so the exhibit is a way to amplify their voices.
Like the history of race in the United States, the history of gender, of women, has been silenced and has been closed off. And so this is part of the framing of the exhibit is the lives and history of the women and their presence, but also it is revealing of the dismissal of gender in U.S. history and then within that Mexican-American history. And so not only is race obscured and pushed out in terms of discussion of history, but so is the history of gender. So what we are revealing then is the deep-rooted history of gender within the Mexican-American world and reality. And so within that, we have to think about why the history of women has been totally obscured and silenced and hidden and removed and made not present. And so what I'm getting at here is this broader notion of ideologies and of the way of determining history and who writes history, who tells history, who tells the story is part of the equation. The work of the museo is presenting the lives, but also presenting the frame. We're changing paradigms. We're changing paradigms of race. We're changing paradigms of class. We're changing paradigms of gender that have historically, in U.S. and other histories, have dismissed, delineated, hidden, removed, silenced those histories.
So, Graciela, can you go into this exhibit a little bit more, the exhibit Women and Activism in the West Side, and can you explain how you're actually opening that exhibit? It's sort of an interactive exhibit to allow people to share stories about the women in their lives.
Well, the reason the Women and Activism in the West Side came into being was that August 1920, 100 years ago, the 19th Amendment was ratified. And so we wanted to participate in that conversation, in that history. And we then thought, well, let's focus again on the mujeres of the West Side. And we had an intern research women in the West Side and just kind of collected whatever names and whatever profiles were out there on the internet. And then we also invited community members. What women do you know? And very specifically said, your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, your tías, your next-door neighbor, who do you recommend that we do research on so that they can be part of this exhibit? And so people wrote lots and lots and lots of names. Sadly, we have had to deal with the coronavirus, and we couldn't continue asking more of, but we had a list of about 100 names. And so then we just narrowed that down, and we had Dana Guerra and Laura Hernandez Erisman, archivists and professors in history, help do more research. And we culled the group down to originally 15 women that when the exhibit opened in August, we had 15 of these profile online. And I remember asking that we include a person named Sebastiana Ramirez Rodriguez. She was Maria Berriozabal's grandmother. And when I was reading Maria's story, she talked about the influence of her grandmother. You know, I brought it up to the committee and I said, can we ask Maria to do a story on Sebastiana? And they said, yes, absolutely. So I called Maria and I said, Maria, will you write the story of your grandmother? And she was so overjoyed with the idea, and she was honored. And so she spent, you know, the next week or so writing her story. And the same thing with me. It's like, well, I want my mother's story, and who else can do my mother's story? So it's like, it's important for, again, the people who will never be written in the history books unless we write their history, because we know their stories. We have their photographs or their little news clippings of when they went and challenged the school board members or challenging city officials, school boards to really implement policies that affected not only their children, but all the children in the neighborhood. So we didn't just want it to be the names of the most recognized. We do have Jovita Idar and Maria Berriozabal and Emma Tenayuca, but there are all so many other women that you won't know until you go into this website. And what we really plead to those listening today and is to tell us the stories of the people, the mujeres that you know that grew up in the West Side, or if they didn't grow up in the West Side but then came at some point in their lives to do the activism to support and improve the lives of the communities of the West Side.
And what plans do you have for the future of the museo?
This next stage is actually building the physical building. We're fundraising like crazy because we want and we hope that by the end of this time next year or early 2022, that we will have a physical building that's been renovated, and in addition to Ruben's Ice House and the M&E grocery store, that we add another 600 square feet to create this 2,300 square foot building at the corner of Guadalupe and Colorado. So that's one of the things we're doing. And because our vision is community-based, we reach and ask the community to help us develop any and all future programs.
As an historian, for me, one of the most important aspects of the museo, of its many important aspects, is that we are building an institution. Being born in Texas and raised in the state of Washington from a farmworking family that stayed in Washington, growing up, we didn't have any institutions. We had the church and the schools, but those were neither our institutions nor did they necessarily reflect our reality or support us. So the creation, the establishment, the sustaining of institutions that reflect us and reflect our history, our culture, our language, our creativity, whether it's in foodways or music or songs, matter a lot. And what we've learned is that unless we do it ourselves, it is not going to get done. But when we go to other museums, we do not see how mothers made tortillas or how the whole family worked in the fields. We don't see short-handled hoes that were ultimately outlawed and so on. So the creation of institutions and the fact that this institution, like the other institutions that Esperanza has built, are collectives. They're community-based. They're centered not only in the experience, but in the language, in the conceptualization, in the knowledge of those working-class community people, and in this case in particular, those working-class community women.
Antonia Castañeda is a professor of history emeritus at St. Mary's University in San Antonio. We also spoke today with Graciela Sanchez, director of the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center and member of the West Side Preservation Alliance. The exhibit Women and Activism in the West Side is available for view at museodelwestside.org. If you know of a strong woman who could complement the exhibit, visit tpr.org to learn more about how to submit their story. We round out the program with music from some of the voices of West Side San Antonio, Las Tesoros de San Antonio. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show online at tpr.org and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Bree Kirkham. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
Traigo. Ellas sí me matan, entre más borracho estoy.